coach that knows about winning. I'm going to push you guys like you've never been pushed before. Some of you are going to wish I was dead. I eat quitters for breakfast, and I spit out their bones. Now, this is going to be the hardest, most difficult thing you ever attempted in your entire life. But you know what? When it's over, you guys are going to be champions.
Champion!
This is the Full Press Bears Podcast.
Packers suck!
A part of Full Press coverage.
I like this kind of party! I like this kind of party, baby!
Here's your host and diehard Chicago Bears fans, Kyle George and Joey Plotkin.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Get ready to bear down.
Thank you, and go Bears!
Well, hey, Bears fans, it is schedule season. I know that's like the most boring pump-up phrase ever. Like, hey, are you excited for a schedule? I don't know how, but the NFL still makes it super exciting, and we're here to talk about it. You know who I am. I'm your host, Kyle George, at FuriousGeorge94 on Twitter. And with me is Joey. He's back at GoBearsDeep on Twitter. Please follow both of us there. You can follow the network, Full Press Coverage, Full Press Coverage. Full Press Bears is where you can find all of the other articles written about the Bears. We do not have a hand in that, but you should go check it out. It is very good work over there. So this week, we are going to basically just talk through this schedule. Okay, we have a special plan for next week that's gonna extend the schedule talk with hopefully a guest, crossing our fingers. I think you guys will enjoy it. I think it'll be one of the most unique things that you hear on Bears podcasts in terms of schedule releases, so keep an eye out for that next week. For this week, Joey, you and I, we're just going to go straight through this 18-week season,
mm-hmm,
and just say what we think is going to happen, what games stick out to us, what were games maybe we would hope to attend, and that's that, right?
Quick takes, gut reaction to the schedule release that just came out. Let's do it.
All right. So let's get it started. Before we run through all of the order and home versus away and the times and everything, Joey, did you have a chance to watch the Bears video release of the schedule?
Right before we sat down to record, I just got a chance to watch it. It took me a minute to get it. Like, I was like, oh, really? What, they're going with the low budget, low effort, kind of ironic route. All right. And then they won me over with the Mooney on the
moon.
I was like, all right, this is pretty
okay.
Good.
I am exactly the same way as you, because I got it, like, even though like they were getting further and further away from Hallis Hall, where they're tossing this football for the schedule, I understood what they were doing.
Yeah.
And like, David Montgomery on the top of the Sears Tower was like, yeah, that's cool. It reminded me of the Michael Jordan versus Larry Bird horse commercial. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Good call.
But it was so green screen. I was just like, this is fine. But when they put Darnell Mooney on the moon throwing it, I'm like, because I had been thinking that, like, as we're watching this, I was like, okay, so they have Justin Fields, David Montgomery, like, those are your two faces on offense. Then they had, like, the special teams unit, and it was like, and that was it. I was like, where was Roquan in there? Maybe
I don't think so. No. You had Cairo, Scales, Montgomery, Fields, and Mooney just for a bit. It's like, who else are you going to really feature too? But you're right. Roquan or Jalen, Eddie, like, get someone in there.
But dude, I kept thinking, like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, I'm surprised Mooney hasn't shown up yet. Because I was like, he is our top receiver, whether Bears Twitter likes that or not, whether national media likes that or not. But he is the top receiver, so I don't know why he hasn't shown up yet. And then I loved that they saved him for the moon shot at the end. Like,
yeah,
Mooney on the moon, Bravo, yeah. Bears Twitter. Like, that was a nice touch there at the end. That's what sold me.
Okay, I'm rewatching it right now as we speak. I think Roquan did do, was it week 7 or week 8? I just saw he did week 7 or week 8. He just did like a long toss outside. And I get, okay. It's good. It's funny. I'm not going to hate on it too much. I just like schedule release is such a fun opportunity for teams to show off their like brand. Like, it's a thing. You know what I mean? It's a fun moment where like you can do whatever you want. There's just no rules. And I don't think we won the schedule release competition across the league.
No. Well, here's the thing for me. I guess that was disappointing about it. That schedule release felt like something they would have done during like the COVID year.
Right. Exactly. Like, That's
you know, like, hey, okay, Justin, you know, you by yourself, take off your mask. You're going to throw, you know, 7 footballs, and then we will have someone else throw it into this dumpster that'll reveal, you know, who the team is that they're playing. Okay, next guy do this. Okay, now I want you to throw it standing in front of the green screen. Like, it would have been so easy to isolate these players, and most of them, they probably weren't even there at the same time doing this. So it felt like one that would have been done a year or two ago. And this year, now that in general there's a lot more freedom going on in terms of what you can do with other people, it felt, I don't know if lazy is the right word, but it did feel,
it was like ironically lazy, like that it was like, yeah, like that was the fun and the joke in it, which would work during COVID, where it's like, all right, they made the best out of a whatever situation. But here it's like, you could do anything. Like, you could, I saw like the Chargers did like a whole anime episode, and I'm not saying that like that's what we should have done, but I will say the gifs that I've seen, like I've seen a couple of people like pull some clips or gifs on Twitter already, and some of them are like the Mooney Moon one's going to get a lot of use this season, which will be fun. Sure. So they're saying like in that way, I'm glad that like they featured the players so that we can actually use these on Twitter. It'll be fun this season. Also, the week 7 with the Patriots, for some reason the fat Patriots, like, he's not, I don't think they meant to make him fat, but just because the Patriots logo normally just has such a pointed sharp jaw, and the hand-drawn version of the Patriots logo just gets so full face.
Yeah, it has like a little bit of a Joe Swanson from Family Guy look to it.
I'm loving fat Patriots logo. I don't know why, that one's just making me laugh every time I look at it.
Yeah, so the other thing, if you haven't seen the video, everybody, is they included with it, like, I don't know if this is supposed to be, like, children-drawn logos of the teams they're facing, but that's kind of what it appears to me,
yeah. Yep.
Where it's, like, it's very clearly the logo of the team, but it's, like, not picture-perfect.
I like it. It's a solid effort, I suppose. There's some chuckles I'm getting out of
okay.
it.
Okay, see, here's the thing. With like the kid drawing, what would have been cool to me is, and like the NFL, like everyone would have gotten so behind this. Like, I don't know if the kids actually submitted these drawings or what, but like have kids actually submit drawings and then have the kids like throw football with the player to announce each week. Like, how cool would that be? Like, everyone would get behind that. Sure, it might be cheesy at times, and it's like, oh, Bears doing a Make-A-Wish announcement, but it's like, I don't know, I think that would have been kind of a cool thing to see.
I so badly agree with you, because before I even said anything, I was like, I want to make sure I'm not, like, that was my thought. I thought that it was, like, I was expecting, like, a reply tweet from the Bears Twitter account where it was like, all drawings were produced by, like, Make-A-Wish Kid or something, like, really charitable or something like that. And I was like, before I make fun of it, let me just make sure I'm not, like, coming off, you know, insensitive or whatever. I might have missed something. I don't think so. I think they were just going with the, like, ironic low effort, low budget route, which I think is funny. Like, I like your take of like, this would have been really funny for the 2020 season, but yeah, I don't know. It's at least, like I said, at least we've got some good clips that we'll get some mileage out of for this season.
Yeah. However, I'm a little nervous about Packers fans and other rivals taking Justin Fields clips out of this, because a lot of the clips, it's like, okay, he's so clearly not throwing that accurately, you know? Because, I mean, what is he throwing at? Probably nothing. He's just throwing it. So it's like, I'm a little worried about that. But, yeah, the Darnell Mooney one, that'll be a great one to use. So,
yeah.
Well, let's get into it. Week number 1, Sunday, September 11th at noon. So at home, Soldier Field against the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, you got to love the home opener. You got to love being at home, Soldier Field.
Yeah. It feels like, has it been a while since we've been home? I don't know.
It does. I don't, without having any idea and looking, it does feel that way. Like that is, I well, feel like
2019 for the 100th season, they opened at home against Green Bay.
Yeah, man, that was, there was so much excitement. I was the city, like I was walking throughout the city that day, and like over in Millennium Park, like it was electric. Like I was so, and anyway, let's.
I remember listening to 670 The Score on that Thursday before the season kicked off, and Dan Bernstein, I remember he was like, I went, he said, I made two stops before I came to work this morning. And he was like, both stops, I encountered people that made eye contact with me, reached their fist out and just said Bears. Yep. And fist bump. And
everyone was
feeling it.
Yeah. Everyone's feeling it. I walked, they did like a whole hype party at Millennium. They like took over like the area where Lollapalooza is with like a whole Bears 100 celebration. Everyone was there in a good mood. I was walking around. I met Alex Brown, Olin Krutz were out there. They were nice. A few other guys. And then it was just like that. I was like, man, how did the day end? So anyway, I'm just stopping myself. All right. Yeah. Staying focused. Hey,
2022 season. We are at home. Right. Love it. Against the Niners. I love it. Look, the Niners have a lot of good pieces. They're a much overall better team. We still don't know what all is going to happen with Debo Samuel. But even so, as it stands, they are all in all a better team than the Bears. Mm-hmm. The big question is, will Trey Lance play or will it be Jimmy G?
Yeah, I'm going to say Trey Lance is under center in this game as my prediction for this game. Like, again, regardless of the outcome, which we'll get into, I think Trey Lance is playing. And I think we're going to get an exciting battle between Fields and Lance. And I think I'll give a little spoiler. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I think Garoppolo is going to be on the sidelines. I think Lance is going to get beaten out by Fields. And the Bears are going to start with a home win. That's right. You're going to learn very quickly where I'm going with my over-under against Vegas. For
Joey, I literally just got goosebumps. You're just saying the word Bears win. Like, oh. Yeah. Okay. I think here's the deal. I think Fields, in a full year two where it's officially his thing, I think Fields gives a lot of hope to Bears fans in week one against the Niners. I think he looks good. We're starting to see some things in the new offense with Luke Getsy. I think we start to see the impact of what Eberflus and his hits principle and his effort-based system has. And I think I'm going to agree with you. I think this is going to be a close game because the Niners, I do think the gap of talent is substantial enough that the Niners, despite Lance playing inferiorly to Fields, I think the talent is enough that it will be very close and honestly kind of a coin flip in my mind. But I think the Bears have the advantage the first few weeks that they're an unknown commodity now because you basically have a quarterback who started very intermittently last year. And he was under a system that did not work for him. And what do you really expect from him? And now you have him under a new offense. And now you have a new head coach with new philosophy, very different than what Nagy's was. I think the Bears are kind of a wild card, and I think that's going to play to their advantage. And for that, I'm going to go with the Bears beating the Niners on that Sunday at noon in September. Mm-hmm.
Yep, love it. Two quick things on this one.
Yeah.
As much as we're not to take away from Justin Fields, but this to me also is like, I think this is going to be, and again, no one has any data, tape, information to go off of. Like, we have that complete advantage to your point, like you're saying, of like, what is Eberflus going to roll out? And no one has taken the time to study what that is. But I think you're looking at a run heavy team that's going to rely on just fundamental solid football on defense, special teams, and running the ball. And I just think it's gonna, I also think like they'll use Fields effectively. I don't think he's gonna have some breakout crazy like four touchdown game week one. I think we're gonna win this off of the run game and just good enough defense.
Now, the Niners do have a little bit of wild card in themselves with Trey Lance because nobody knows exactly what to expect from him. But I just feel like it's hard. I know that maybe you can argue the Niners are taking the Mahomes approach with him, where he saw very limited action last year. I just have a hard time buying, like, for the first game with him as the real starter, that he's going with somebody who played in an FCS school and hasn't really played a full season in like 3 years. I just have a hard time buying that he's going to come out and be lights out like the way Mahomes was. So, but he is technically a wild card to see what they'll do with him, because I'm sure he provides some different things, especially in terms of being more mobile than Jimmy G, that Shanahan can take advantage of. Okay, enough about that week. Let's get into week two. Week two at Green Bay, Lambeau Field, Sunday Night Football at 7:20. So, I love and hate every game against the Packers. And the main reason I have hated things recently has been because of this trend where the Packers just continue to have primetime games played at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care what you want to say about, oh, it's just a game, it doesn't really matter when it's played or whatever, it's just a game. It's like, yeah, I mean, to an extent, I agree with you. And obviously the Packers, I'm not saying the Packers have beaten the Bears so much in the past two decades because they've had the advantage in primetime games. I'm not saying that. But it does seem a little unfair that I think it was like 14 out of the past 17 primetime games have been at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And whether you believe it or not, primetime just does have more pressure on it because the whole nation is watching. It's under the lights. The biggest names are broadcasting the game. Like, it is, it just is a bigger deal, and there's more pressure and all this stuff. And I don't blame the Packers. Definitely deserve primetime. Bears Packers deserves primetime. But I don't understand how the NFL can't figure out how to have it alternate. Like, it seems
right
to, just like how they alternate usually with teams that play each other, like that match up with, like for example, week four, we'll get to this, they play at New York Giants, because the last time they played the Giants, it was at Soldier Field. Like, they alternate a lot of times home and away. And it's like, I don't understand how, I just don't get it. Like, how can you alternate that, but you can't alternate, okay, we're going to have Bears, we're going to have Packers at Bears on at the primetime slot. I know Lambeau is probably a more historical and classic stadium than Soldier Field, and maybe that's part of the appeal to it. But it does feel like a slight advantage that the Green Bay Packers are awarded.
Yeah, it feels like a big advantage, but also not just like from a competitive and for the players, just from just maybe just the meathead Bears fan perspective, but like, it's just, these are the things that just start to take a toll after a while. Like, those primetime games against the Packers, especially, like, and usually the defense plays commendable. It's just watching the offense put up like no fight or not, just not being competent. And it's just, they're so demoralizing. It's like everything's like, it's hard enough when the Bears are in primetime and the offense can't get it going. And then it's hard enough when it's against the Packers and it's on Lambeau and it's just a nonstop, like, Aaron Rodgers parade in the broadcast. And it's just, it's maddening. And it's then I'm reminded, I'm like, oh, right, I get why we have those crazy, like, out of delusional Bears fans that are out there, because like they've been traumatized like by these types of games. And it's like, yeah, I get it, it hurts. But I also acknowledge that, yes, like, we just need to do something. It's just like the only the only remedy here is to just play with heart. Just offense, just look competent. Like, just like, it's okay. You can kind of even try not to have it lose in heartbreaking fashion. Just put up an admirable fight, stay in there, and look competitive and competent. We'll be okay then.
Yep. Yeah. I was listening to the CHGO Bears podcast the other day, and Mark Carmen was a guest on there, and he basically was just saying, like, I think for every Bears fan, even if they went 3-14 this year, if in every one of those games the Bears are scoring like between like 26 and 35 points and Fields looks good, nobody's going to really care that much that they're 3-14. Like, yeah, they just want to see the evidence that Fields is taking the next step, and then they can go all in next year to make that difference.
Yep. And that's my prediction for this game, is that we lose, but we take a step in the right direction, hold our own, and look competitive. And I think enough logical Bears fans will hang their hat on that.
I don't know. I've been so traumatized. I'm going to go with at least a one touchdown victory by Green Bay. Maybe you consider that close.
Yeah, there's like a garbage time TD that we get to kind of make it look a little bit closer. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I get it.
I'm thinking a 7-10 point win by the Packers. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's just I was listening to Third Down Thursdays with MJ Hurley, who's been on the show before. It's his show. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as he was running through the Packers schedule, I mean, the Packers play a lot of the same teams the Bears do. I was just like, the Packers are far and away the best team in the division. Like, honestly, the Packers with the schedule they have are probably going to be like 14-3 or 13-4. And it just is. That's just what it's going to be. Like, it's not even going to be a close race for the division. It's just it is what it is. So accept it going into it. But let's go ahead and move on to week three versus Houston Texans, Lovie Smith homecoming party to Soldier Field at noon. Bears win this one. What do you think?
At home against the Texans, this has to be a win. And again, I'm trying to remind myself like what the expectations are realistically for this team. But come on, I mean, look at, like, for as much as we look at the Bears roster and depth chart and feel like, I don't know, like, pull up Houston's depth chart right now, I think it's much worse. There's a couple of bright spots, but the Texans haven't exactly, you know, like, just look at it on paper and how we stack up.
Is David Johnson without still their top running back? Or is it Mark Ingram now?
I don't know what I have to as I'm saying, like, oh, everyone just go look at it. I have to actually look at it. So in fairness, I get it, but that's about how intimidated I am that I'm like, come on.
Yeah. They're a mess of an organization.
And they do not, at least I'm not seeing that. It's, what do we have? Am I crazy? No. Yeah. It's who'd you say? David Johnson. Where'd he go after the Cardinals?
He went to the Texans. Cause that was the whole DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Okay, I'm losing it. It's Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead. Is this updated?
Wow, Marlon Mack is on the Texans.
That's right? Marlon Mack, Rex Burkhead.
That shows you what Indy thought of Marlon Mack, that they let him go to the Texans in division. Like, they don't care, and the Texans aren't good, so it doesn't matter. Okay, let's just keep it rolling, because we got a lot of games to get through.
Yep.
Week four in the Big Apple against the Giants. Danny Dimes. Danny Dimes. Bears win. I mean, come on. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, I am not buying the Brian Daboll hype either. Like,
I am, but it's going to take more than three. Well, but it's going to take more than 3 weeks and a terrible roster. Like, I long term, I think Dable's going to be a good fit there. And when I say long term, I think like he'll have an end to his run, but I think he'll be successful, but not 3 or 4 weeks into this season, and not with that team. So no, I think that's going to be a game that Justin Fields does start to be like, okay, we're putting it together. Now we're a couple weeks in. And I think that this is the sort of like comfort game for Fields, where he starts to show a little bit something, and we're And yeah, at this point, I've got them sitting at 3-1 now after that win against the Giants.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say. So pause everybody for a second. Now, listeners, 3-1. We both have the Bears 3-1. We've been in step so far with what we've said. You know, you can think we're crazy, but 3-1. I mean, wow. Did anyone expect that? I mean, the way Bears Twitter has been, it sounds like the Bears are going to be. I saw some people saying the Bears are only going to win 4 games this year. I have a hard time buying that. But let's go into the next week. Week 5 at Minnesota at noon. So this is finally a change Bears fans and especially the reporters have been dying for. The reporters actually have to travel. They've been like, can we please stop going to Minnesota in January? Because Minneapolis, St. Paul is a really nice area. But just not in the winter. You don't really want to go there.
This is one where they finally flipped the schedule the right way, where it was like for like the past few seasons, we were on the road to Minnesota. So they finally flipped one back in our favor.
So if you can do this, then you should be able to also do the Packers prime time thing.
Exactly.
Anywho, Vikings in Minnesota, very winnable game in my opinion. I think the Vikings, I don't know if I can say they've taken a step back, but I definitely don't think they've taken any steps forward. But I have the Vikings winning this one.
Yeah, I've got us splitting with the Vikings. I think the Vikings will get the win while we're on the road, and spoiler alert for the future, right? But I think they pick up the win here. This is probably just one of those like Justin Jefferson goes off type games.
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin. And it's just like, all right, that's okay. Shake it off. We're still 3-2 now at this point.
Yep. All right, then short week, Thursday night football on October 13th, 7:15 p.m. against the Washington Commanders. All right, so Carson Wentz and the Commanders come to Soldier Field. I do like Thursday night games they're okay. I think it'll be interesting this year because I think Al Michaels is on the call now for Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be kind of a new thing to adjust to. But I don't know. I like Thursday night at Soldier Field. I think the place will be rocking.
Yep.
And I think like you already said the magic words.
I couldn't resist. No, in October, like nice fall night at home, Thursday night. Like, yeah, I mean, that place is going to be rowdy. And Carson Wentz, I mean, not that it's that simple. Like,
I know. Yeah.
I just think that that's like, if I'm picking it, like, yeah, give us the win there.
Yeah. Now, yeah, you said picking it. Yeah. Like, if we're going off of spreads, that's a whole new game. But just based off winning, yeah, I got Bears beating the Commanders, I think, as well. All right, week 7 at New England, Monday Night Football. So you have back-to-back primetime games, one at home, one away. Interesting, you do have a little bit of rest. If Matt Nagy was still the coach, I would guarantee you that New England would be a loss because any extended breaks, Matt Nagy's team's almost always lost. I actually hate following up Thursday night with Monday Night Football because it's so long between the games. It's like, I know the players probably like it because, like a little bye week. But as a fan, you're like, oh, like I have to wait like a legit week and a half before I see them play again.
Ooh, good call. Yeah, that one's going to hurt.
Yeah, especially if they lose against the Commanders, you're going to be on that for a week and a half. But anyway, New England Patriots, Monday Night Football, I don't think the Patriots are all that, but I do think they will beat the Bears in this game.
I agree with you on both. I don't think the Patriots are going to be like making a major push or a major splash or anything this upcoming season. I do think that Belichick is able to game plan enough to slow us down on offense. I'm sure I think Mac Jones will be efficient. I think it'll be kind of a low scoring affair, which just feels about right for Bears Patriots. I think Patriots will edge them out. And again, I think we're okay. So now I've got us sitting at 4-3 after this one.
Yep. All right. Next up, we have Bears at the Dallas Cowboys on the day before Halloween at noon. I don't think the Cowboys are world beaters, but I definitely think that they're better than the Bears.
Yeah, so that yeah.
I'm taking Cowboys in this one.
You just have to. CeeDee Lamb, Dak. Yep. It's just, I don't know. It's asking to, like, this is where everyone else who's kind of like, all right, you've still got the Bears of the winning record this far in. Like, come on, let's just think about it for a sec. Yep. These are the types of games that they'll, you know, maybe they're still competitive in. And again, like we're saying earlier, just show some fight. Don't get blown out. Keep it close. Fields, hopefully, is, you know, the offense looks in sync. And hey, a bunch of young guys, they lose out to, you know, a playoff team in the Cowboys. I'm okay with it.
Yep. All right. Next one, a November 6th game at noon against the Miami Dolphins at Soldier Field. All right, so interesting one. You have warm weather team in November in Soldier Field. Will the weather be a factor? It could be. Maybe. There's always that chance. The turf is always a factor. We know that. But I just don't know if I'm really buying the Dolphins hype. Like,
it's a hard team to read. Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard. Like, Tyreek Hill, huge acquisition by them. And if anything for the Dolphins, it was a win to get them to get him instead of the Jets, who are in their division. Like, that was a huge move by them to be able to snag him. I just don't know if Tua is it. Like, he has moments, but they're not, like, this is, I can't believe this comparison just popped in my head. Tua feels like somewhat of a worse version than Jared Goff. Like, Jared Goff has had many elite moments. Like, think about that one Monday night game against the Chiefs where they combined scored like 96 points or something. Like, it was crazy at the Coliseum. Obviously, he led the Rams to the Super Bowl. Like, a lot of good moments for Jared Goff, but by and large, he's like pretty underwhelming. I feel like Tua is like that, but to a lesser degree. Like, he has fewer big moments and mostly is underwhelming. I don't think he's awful, but I don't think he is good. So
yeah, and I think that's what makes them so hard to read. It's like, because you just have to get a read on Tua, and really, I don't know
what to make of this game. I also don't know if Mike McDaniel is going to work out as head coach. And it's nothing against him. Like, his personality is hilarious and I love the guy. He rose so quickly up the ranks.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how that happens, how that goes for him. I think personally by week 9, I'm going to make a bold prediction here. By week 9, the Dolphins are going to be in the cellar in the AFC North or AFC East. The Dolphins are going to be the team in the cellar. Last place. I think this is a coin flip game, and since I gave the Bears the coin flip game against the Niners, I'm going to give the Dolphins the coin flip game in this one. That's what I'm going
to
do here.
I want to make this one a tie, to be honest, and not, I don't think it's going to end that way. I'm also going to go with the Dolphins, only because I'm looking down, like, I'm just taking a step back, and I'm kind of, like you said, it's a coin toss for me. So it's like, all right, well, how do I settle the tiebreaker here? And I'm just thinking about the Bears' overall record. I mean, I'm trading a win and a loss somewhere else. So I've got to have enough of them. Otherwise, something's got to give. This just is probably one of those games that, I don't know, it just feels like, okay, that's where they go off the rails. You know, it's a winnable game, but these are the types of games that a young team that's still trying to get in sync just doesn't find a way to win.
Yep. So now you're looking at a team that started 3-1, is now 4-5 at about the halfway point. Bears Twitter is probably in a very healthy place, right? all right. Week 10 against the Detroit Lions at Soldier Field. Another noon game. I actually looked through the schedule. They have no games at 3:25, which I will just say personally, as somebody who lives on Eastern time, thank you. Because
interesting, yeah, you're right.
I love, first of all, I've always loved noon games more than 3 o'clock games, and I will also say that just on Eastern time. So these noon games are actually 1 o'clock for me. And the 3:25 games are actually like almost 4:30 for me. The 3 o'clock games, it was kind of hard because it's like, okay, I'm eating into dinner time, and like dinner time is like family time. Like I feel kind of guilty almost in some ways. So it's nice that they've laid it all out for me. I can avoid all of that with
the anticipation. Like when it's game day, like you want to wake up and just like immediately just be like, all right, let's get ready. When it's just hanging over your head, like all morning and all day. And then you just kind of like come out of that 3 hour haze, especially when it's a tough loss. Like, I'm definitely noon games, and put us into prime time in like good situations only.
I love the rush I experience when I get home from a good church service and immediately rush to my bedroom to throw on whatever Bears gear I'm going to wear for the day, and then come and sit my butt down on the couch. Like, let's get to it. So,
and I know the times could change, but I'm at least like to have all of the day games still be noon at this point, even if one gets bumped or flexed or whatever, like we're sitting good.
The times could change, but I don't think they would flex a game to 3:25.
Yeah, you're right. It does
like if they flexed it would be to prime time.
Yeah, good call. So, or if they get bumped out of prime time then to one of the 3:25 slots. But yep,
I suppose that's true. But the ones that are already listed as prime time, I don't think they lose that. I think that's like a whole agreement with the team.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lions at Soldier Field, November 13th at noon. I don't know what to make of the Lions either, to be honest with you. I think I was just talking about Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is better than he's gotten credit for. I also think he's not good, but I think he's better than what he's gotten credit for.
That's a perfect summary.
I think the Lions match that summary as well. Like, I think the Lions are better than what they've been getting credit for under Dan Campbell, but I also think they're not good. I think the Bears will split the season series against the Lions, and I think fans are gonna be very disappointed by that. And I think but here's the deal: the Bears at this point would have been on a 3-game losing streak, so I'm gonna go with a Bears victory for a little bounce back juice against the Lions.
Agree. Yeah, and I like you said, Jared Goff is probably better than all of the flack that he catches, but I think everyone kind of feels it coming that the Lions are due for a losing season, and then they're eyeing a quarterback in next year's draft.
Yep.
And it's like, if we all kind of, I mean, come on, right? Like, we're sitting here in May and who knows, but if we're all feeling that way, then come on, when it's week 10, I got to be saying like, yeah, Jared Goff's going to underperform, and that's going to be, you know what I mean? That's the beginning of the end for that era.
Yep.
So Bears win.
Week 11 at the Atlanta Bears, and the Ryan Pace and what was the name of the other GM? Phil Emery run Atlanta Falcons. So wild, all the connections with that team. Like, there are so many former Bears on the Falcons, it's a little disconcerting. And I actually heard the other day that like Nick Kwiatkowski went for a tryout at.
Saw that too. Yeah, I don't know if he ended up there, but just seeing it, I was like, I can't escape. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. Look, Ryan Pace is like the opposite of King Midas. If you're familiar with your mythology, everybody, King Midas is the king that whatever he touches turns to gold. Ryan Pace is either the opposite of that, or he's that to the max, where everything he touches like turns to a curse. Bears win this one.
I mean, they released Mike Davis and have Cordarrelle Patterson now as their RB1. I think they brought in Demir Byrd. They're one of the few teams that I would argue has a worse receiving core than we do. And to me,
who did they draft? I don't even remember who they drafted.
I have to pull it up, but there is, I mean, it's Drake London,
that's
Olamide,
right.
Zacchaeus. I can't say that name. Auden Tate, Demir Byrd, so Frank Darby. Like, I mean,
great. You got Drake London. Who's throwing it to you?
Yeah.
It's Marcus Mariota.
Like, yeah. They have Kyle Pitts. Same thing. Like, all right. Kyle Pitts, you know, again, I think he will be very, very good. I don't think he's going to be very, very good this year.
Really? Really? You're going to have the Falcons and the Lions 2 weeks in a row. Both those teams are going to be jockeying for position to get a quarterback in next year's draft.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting.
Yep. Same page. All right.
Next one, week 12 at the New York Jets. I'm back and forth on if I'm buying. A lot of people are like, Zach Wilson's going to be good this year. I still don't know personally, but I'm going to go with another loss here.
I just feel like I don't want to, but I feel like I have to. And I it's like at some point I'm not even analyzing or going with my gut read, because my gut is telling me that we're going to beat the Jets. But I'm just looking at the and it's like, what would that? I would have them at 7-5 at this point, and I just don't see them being at. Well, I don't see them being at 7 wins.
And you have to remember, we have to remind ourselves too that with all of these schedules, there's always going to be a game that they win that surprises people, and a game that they lose that surprises people. And not knowing where the Jets are and how good they are will be, I think it's fair for us to give the Jets the win here.
Yeah. They had a good draft. Zach Wilson, though, I think he got better as the season went on. Like late last year, I think he started to show, okay, you know, nice, but I don't know. I don't think his ceiling this year, I don't think he's taken a massive step. Maybe based on not much. It's not like I sat and watched a whole lot of Jets games, but but anyway, all of that to reduce back to, I agree. Like this feels like it's probably a winnable game that they find a way to lose. It's just probably the type of season that it'll be. So Jets loss, and we're sitting at, I think I've got them at 6-6. Are we on the same page?
We've been in step the whole way.
All right. We did not plan that. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going with our own.
We're just winging it here. Yeah.
Yeah. Week 13. Green Bay Packers at Soldier Field for a noon game. So listen, everybody. It is a new era of Bears football. All right. Matt Eberflus and the Hits principle making a difference on this team. Aaron Rodgers is going to be on his butt the whole game at Soldier Field. Justin Fields will be in step. And the Bears will beat the Packers.
Woof. All right, end the show. Let's go.
No, no.
I like your prediction more than mine. I don't think it's a blowout. I think like I said.
Oh, I'm not earlier, saying a blowout. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. Oh, I mean in the other direction.
Okay.
I think the Bears put up an admirable fight. Again, I think that's kind of the summary of what the season's gonna be. We're 0-2 against the Packers, but it's a well fought 0-2, but it is still 0-2, and I've got the Packers getting the win here. And so I've got them at 6-7. I like your world a lot better, where we're sitting at 7-6 heading into the bye week.
I'm just saying it's a new world. It's a new era. Yeah. All right. Bye week. What do you think about a week 14 bye week? That's about as late as they give them.
Yeah, I hate it. I think that's a tough break. I feel for the team and for Eberflus on that one. I mean, I guess it's not like there's always different, you know, I don't think anyone, any coach or anyway, they're going to spin it and just say, yep, doesn't really matter. And we're going to, you know, get right toward the end of the year. But I don't think we're really fighting for a playoff contention spot. I've got them at 6-7 at this point. And
you're going to be in the hunt.
We're going to be in the hunt. But I think this stretch that we, not only is it a late bye week, but it's not like this, it's not a, you're not seeing, I don't know, the Commanders and the Lions and the Giants and the Texans at the end of this, right? You're seeing some better competition. So I think it's actually kind of a progressively difficult schedule in a way based on the late bye week and how the season ends here.
So I don't mind it. I hate week 4 bye weeks.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, guys,
what do we have this year?
Like we need bye weeks for like players' health and safety purposes even. And like by week 4, these guys are just getting going. Like, especially like so many of them don't play in the preseason. Like they're just getting into it and you're giving them a bye week. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I've always loved the week 9 or week 10 buys because it's like right smack dab in the middle.
Yep.
As a fan, it feels like the perfect like first half and second half of the season. It's just kind of a nice, easy way to keep track of everything in your head. But I really don't hate week 14. It does feel, you know, where it will hurt is if in, say, week 7, Darnell Mooney tweaks his knee or something, and by week 9 or 10, he's, like, having to be out for an extended period of time or whatever, mm-hmm. where you could have had a bye week to help that out. Now you have to wait, you know, 5 extra weeks or whatever just to get there. So I get that that's where it becomes a problem for the Bears. But all in all, I like week 14, and I like it if the Bears are 7-6, which is what my schedule is so far, then you are in the hunt, and the bye week would give you an opportunity to rest up before this final stretch. So let's get into the final stretch. Week 15, Eagles at Soldier Field at noon. So I had mentioned that every year there are games that you don't expect the Bears to lose, and there are games you don't expect them to win. And I don't think anyone would expect the Bears to beat the Packers. I don't think anyone would expect them to beat the Eagles also in a second consecutive game. So I don't think the Eagles are world beaters. I don't think the Eagles are this, mm-hmm. oh my word, they're this most amazing team ever. But I do think that the Bears, I do think the Eagles are better than the Bears. And I think the Bears will beat them at Soldier Field, which I think will surprise people.
I coming off the bye week, I don't know. I think Hurts has a solid game. I think the Eagles are getting the win. It just seems like they're a little bit more of a complete team, more continuity from last season where they were making some noise and they were looking pretty damn competitive. Yeah. So I got to give it to the team that's playing with each other under the same system, you know, same court, everything versus we're still just not quite at that level. I think fast forward 1 year and we're getting the win over Jalen Hurts, but we're just not there yet.
So I have the Bears sitting 8-6. Bears fans are feeling real good. Bears Twitter is drinking so much Kool-Aid that they're all diabetic. Like, this is like, we're having Super Bears Super Bowl posted on Twitter, like crazy stuff, right? Week 16, the Bills come to town and blow the doors off the Bears in this one. I don't care
on Christmas Eve.
I don't care how much of the hits principle you believe in, which I believe in it a lot. No, the Bills are destroying the Bears in this one. I like this one is going to be like, even if the Fields and the Bears do put up points, even this is still going to be one where even if the Bears score 30, the Bills are going to score 45. Going to be that kind of game. So that's my prediction.
Nothing to add. Josh Allen, enough said. It's going to get ugly on Christmas Eve.
Week 17, New Year's Day at Detroit. I picked the Bears to beat the Lions kind of narrowly at Soldier Field earlier in the season. I'm going to give the edge to the Lions in this one with a season split with the Lions.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I've got us going 2-0 against the Lions. So mm-hmm. I've actually got us again. I think Jared Goff, the Lions, et cetera, right? They're going to get clowned. I think they're going to be better and more competitive than what everyone says. I still think the Bears are the better team, and I think we're going 2-0 against the Lions, 1-1 against the Vikings, 0-2 against the Packers, and that's kind of how I see the NFC North more or less stacking out. So I'm giving the Bears a win here with the Lions.
And last week at Soldier Field, it's January 7th. It's a Saturday Saturday or Sunday. Time and date is to be determined, apparently. But they are playing the Vikings at Soldier Field, which will assuredly be a snowy, snowy day. I had said that the Bears and the Vikings will split, and I'm going to stick with that. And that leaves me with a record of 9-8, which I know sounds wild to a lot of people. I don't think it's that wild. Like, I really think the Bears, and it's such a generality for me to say this. Like, I really think the Bears could end up anywhere from 7-10 to 10-7. Mm-hmm. It really depends on injuries and how players develop. And I know that's the most cliche thing I could have possibly said about what the Bears' record will be. But I mean, that's just what it is. And so I guess what I'm saying is the Bears' floor, I guess I would say this season is, I'm going to put the Bears, well, let's talk floor and ceiling after yours. So mm-hmm. finish your prediction.
I've got us. Yep. So I had us going 1-1 against the Vikings, and we pick up the win at home against them. So that puts me all in all finishing the season out at 8-9. So
we're right there.
Yeah. We're right there. I'm just one less optimistic than you, which I'm shocked by, because I always am like, I'm always thinking I'm the delusional. I mean, we're both usually on the same page, so that part doesn't surprise me.
I just want to be I am the realist, and I do think the Packers are going to just absolutely run away with the division. Like, it's not going to even be a contest. I just am holding out hope that one of those three or four games the Packers lose will be to the Bears, because it will just, yeah. Anything, here's the last thing. Look, Packers at Soldier Field, last time that happened, Bears fans heard the "I own you" thing from Rodgers. Okay, like, there are a lot of players on this team that are still on this team that were there last year,
mm-hmm.
that heard that. Okay, and I guarantee you that Eberflus is going to use that as bulletin board material. Like, guys, like, we are going to stick it to these guys. Like, and I guess in the end, like I said, I don't care if the Bears lose. I just want it to be competitive. But I'm going to be extra optimistic tonight and say that they win. Anyway.
No, I like it. Yeah, I'm pretty much, I think we strayed on just a couple of games that for the most part, our breakdowns were pretty much the same in a lot of the predictions. And after, like, to your larger comment about the record overall, it feels like in the range of 7-10 and 10-7. And I get where anyone listens, like, okay, that's a pretty safe assumption, because you're kind of covering, right? Like, a big range of the middle ground where most teams are going to fall. I think the difference here is, like, that's actually, it fits so perfectly with this, where this team is right now. Like, yep. it's, I get it that it's safe to just go right in the middle, and pretty much any given year for any team, you can kind of be in that range and have it be a safe assumption. But for this team, it really does fit right now. And not only that, like, I'll add this quick. People underestimate the mediocrity across the NFL, Bears fans in particular, because no one's stronger critics of the Bears than a lot of Bears fans. And I think we get so worked up and angry about the offensive line,
cutting Jesper Horsted.
Right? It's like, yeah, everyone would like to have a Pro Bowl left tackle. Everyone would like to have, you know, an all pro offensive line. They're not just widely out there. And you start to see it against these games, whether it's Washington or the Jets and the Giants or the Lions. Like, people will start to see, like, okay, we can critique our team, but it's not like there is plenty of mediocrity and subpar plays and rosters and coaching all throughout this league. And that is going to become more and more evident as we get further and further along and realize, okay, and now there are actual football guys and people who know what they're doing, presumably in the right spots on this coaching staff and throughout the Hallis Hall.
Yeah. Yep. So I totally agree. And I also think it's a little unfair for people to be like, oh, well, that's a little unfair of a prediction, because every team's getting up in the middle. Excuse me. Like, how many Jaguars fans or Lions fans are like, oh yeah, we're going to have this many, like, we're going to be 7-10 to 10-7. Like, I would bet the Lions 7-10 is probably like their ceiling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that, let's talk ceiling and floor. So for me, I think the ceiling for the Bears, if you like, and this is like major ceiling, mm-hmm. is what we're talking about. Justin Fields doesn't just break out. He, like, takes the league by storm. Like, we're talking Patrick Mahomes level second year in the league where it's like the dude is just on fire doing things that you've never seen on a football field before. Like, this kind of stuff. If that happens, which isn't impossible, then I think your best case scenario is 11-6.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Go ahead. No, I was. I'm under that world. I'm going 12-5. Yeah. I mean, we're talking like if not just Fields taking that. That's the world that we're describing, right? Fields is like, whoa, this is a transcendent quarterback in year two. But yeah. Also, if the defense is clicking and we're still successful running the ball, and it's all like, the way that the schedule kind of lines up, I don't know. Like, I'm putting the ceiling at 12-5.
Love it. All right. So there's your optimism right there.
There you go.
Okay. Floor.
You got it. You got it.
If you have a bunch of injuries, if the signings by polls look like the way Bears Twitter's been making them sound like they're going to be, if the lack of talent that there seems to be on the team in their current state lives up to what they've been historically. But again, I think injuries are going to be critical in this. If you have a lot of injuries, or let's say off the field problems, maybe there's suspensions, just things are going wrong. Okay. Full on shit hits the fan kind of stuff. I think you're looking at worst case scenario, 5-12.
Mm-hmm. I'm still staying one more optimistic than you. I'm saying 6-11. And I get that even my floor sounds optimistic, but it just, even a sputtering Bears team right now as it stands, I think finds a way to beat the Texans and the Commanders and the Lions at least once, you know, and it in the Giants. Like, it just isn't hard to stack some of the wins there, even if they aren't doing it in an impressive fashion. And we've seen this team pull wins together over the past few seasons now, pull wins out in not impressive fashion, but a win is a win. And so I just think it's so, I don't know. I think Vegas has the line set at like 6.5 wins on the season. Yep. And I'm just, it's free money, baby. It's free money. Hammer the over. Like, I'm seeing 7 wins minimum. I think they're getting 8 wins. I just think the floor is 6 wins. And I don't know. I love that.
Yeah. I have them obviously at 9 wins. I'm more optimistic than what my floor suggests. But I do think that what I'm presenting to you is an absolute doomsday scenario. Right. And there are occasions where that happens to teams. I don't see that. It's one of those things where it happens once in a blue moon. And so, sure, maybe it's the Bears' turn to have a run of bad luck. But there's no reason to really believe that until it starts happening, I guess. So, I'd say my realistic floor would be like 6-11. Doomsday is 5-12. I think realistically, your prediction and my prediction, 8 to 9 wins, is what you're looking at. So, I think based on off-season projections, I think everyone would see that as a win. Like,
yep, absolutely.
At 8-9 or 9-8, depending on how the rest of the conference plays out, you have a shot at that 7th wild card spot. Not that I'm expecting the Bears to do much with that, but I mean, playoff experience would be huge for Fields. So even if they got into a situation where they're playing, where they're playing the Rams in the wild card round or something, and they just get, you know, the doors blown off them or whatever, like, honestly, doesn't matter. It's experience for Fields. That's what you need. So that's like best case scenario in my mind, is they sneak in, make a wild card spot, and no, I don't even care about the results of that game as much. Like, just, you know, it's development time.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I like it.
All right. Well, that is our show for tonight. We are going to be back next week with some more schedule breakdown. Again, it's going to be really fun. I think I've never heard anybody do this on Bears Twitter, or really NFL Twitter, NFL media. So I think it's a fun thing that we have planned. And again, we're hoping to have a guest. I may actually, Joey, I may actually reach out to a couple other people too. So we might have multiple guests next week. So it will be an episode you don't want to miss. So please make sure you tune in for our very unique and special schedule breakdown. And I promise to you, I'm not underselling it. I think it will be a good time.
Way to tee it up. Let's do it.
So with that, for Joey and myself, thank you again for listening. Please leave us a review on Apple or Spotify, wherever it is you listen. Reviews help us get noticed, help the show. So please do that. Would really, really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter at FuriousGeorge94 and at GoBearsDeep. And be great, be kind, bear down, and we will see you next week for a very fun episode.
Boom, baby! Fade to black! Been the Full Press Bears Podcast. If you don't love the Bears, we don't love you.